Okay, we are on Chav Ches Amud Aleph, and if you remember, the last thing that we discussed was what happens to a Ben Levi who was sleeping on the watch. If he was, if he doesn't respond when somebody, when the person Ishar Bais, the one who lives there, whose job is to actually go around and wake people up, greets him, then he can get beaten, or even his clothes can get set on fire to remind him that he's got a job. He's guarding the Beis Hamikdash, and he should be awake. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said, "Pam achas matzu es achi imi yashin." One time they found the brother of my mother, my maternal uncle, sleeping. Vesarfu es susoy, and they burnt his clothes, just like what we described. And Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Kimati Rabbi Yochanan behamas nisa amarachi. When Rabbi Yochanan came to this teaching, this brisa, remember, masnisa means something that was repeated by a tana, by somebody who was trained to do so in the yeshiva. So when he came across this brisa, which is really something that was repeated by a tana, this is what he said: Ashrehem l'rishonim shafilu al ein hashena isindin shaleil ein hashena as kamakama. Praised be the rishonim, praised be those who lived before us, meaning those in time of the Beis Hamikdash, that even when they sort of, they're overwhelmed, they are judged for their actions. It shows what a high level they were on, that they were judged when they did something incorrectly. But ones, us, we're on such a low level, we won't face judgment for that ever, because it's unreasonable to expect it. We're on such a low level. Tanya, yeah, Breitza, Rebbe, Omer, Eze hi derech yeshera sheyavor loy hadam. What is a straight path that a person should choose for himself? Yohav es hatoichachos. She should love to be rebuked. I don't think the point is that you should enjoy it, but the point is that you should view it as an inherently positive thing. You should want people to tell you off when you're doing something wrong. Not that you should want to do something wrong, but in the event you do something wrong, you should want to be told about it, so that you can in fact improve. Shekol's man shetoichos ba'olam, because as long as people are telling other people off, as long as people tell people off when they do something wrong, nachas ruach ba'olam, then nachas ruach, pleasantness comes to the world as well. Meaning, it's a basic point of psychology. It's not true that you should never tell anybody off. Ajaba, sometimes it's a good time to tell someone off. Sometimes it is a good idea to tell somebody something if something's going wrong, because then they can fix it. If they can't, then it just gets worse. Right? Tova, bracha v'ilanam, goodness, bracha, blessings come to the world because Akash Baruch was happy. Right? Vera'a Mr. Lekas v'ilanam, of course, evil disappears from the world because people are telling other people when they do something wrong. So, less bad is done. They get to fix the bad things they're doing. Right? Shenemar v'lam v'chichim yin'am. Because, as the Pasuk says, v'lam v'chichim, that those who rebuke other people yin'am, it will be pleasant. V'aleihem tavo, and upon them will come birchas tov, the good bracha. Right? The bracha of goodness, I suppose, is a better translation. V'yeshoim rim. Right, and there are some people who say Yechezak be'emuno yaseira, that they would even forget that there was forget all things that we've said before. There will be, so the word emuna here does not mean belief. In modern Hebrew, emuna means belief. In Talmudic Hebrew, in the Tanakh, emuna doesn't really mean belief, it means trust. Now, it happens to be you can also trust in God, right? But there wasn't a concept of not believing in God. It didn't exist. Everybody believed in God, obviously believed in God. The question is, do you trust God? When they're saying that you have to believe in God, we don't mean you have to believe in God as in have an abstract notion that he exists. We mean you have to trust him, you have to act on that. By the way, I think that's true to this day. The importance is not per se to believe in him, to acknowledge the existence of God, is to trust in God. Right? So too here, that there will be more trust. Here it doesn't mean trusting in God, it means that people will be more trustworthy, that when they do business they will be better about it. Here, take a video.
If somebody from my boys asks about Amiomi, it's probably the local option, okay?
That's amazing! As long as she has the keys, she's happy. Yoni, can you get on to bring it to Ema? Get on and then walk it to Ema. We have a stubborn child. That was the much harder way for him to bring it to you. Oh, is that what he was doing? Oh, okay. Oi! Okay. That was recorded. My apologies. Sorry, we are at, as you've probably realized by now, we are actually at the park with our kids. I thought I had paused the recording. Apparently, I did not. Motza oi na'ul yodea vechule. Right? Right, so he found, if he found the door, remember we're now talking about the Beis HaKisa HaKavod, right? The Beis HaKisa, the honorable toilet that that was built in the Beis HaMikdash. Why was it so honorable? Because, or why was it so covetic? Because in the event that somebody, right, was in it, they close the door, and so you know for sure that somebody's in it, you don't have to ask. And then we have the next bit of the Mishnah, right? Anybody who wants to be Torah Mitzvah and wants to do Trumas Hadeshan, we discussed at the time what Trumas Hadeshan is, means taking the first little spadeful of ash off the top of the Mizbeach and putting it on the side, which is the beginning of the cleaning of the Mizbeach. Most of the year it continued to clean the Mizbeach, and during the Shalosh Regalim they would just pile the ash up high on the Mizbeach so everybody could see how many korbanos had been brought, right? Right? Ka gufa kasha, we have an inherent contradiction. Amras, we said, Misha who wrote the list from Mizbeach, Moshe Mashki, the Tovel Achayelamunah. We said that anybody who wants to do Trumas Hadeshan, who wants to take this first spadeful of ash off, he wants to be able to do it, he Tovels and he puts on his big day kahuna before he goes to the Trees of Death of Machlikis. Amorim. The Trumas Hadeshan, do you do it in full big day kahuna, or do you do it just in the Me'il and the Tzayim without the Mitz Nefes and without the Afnit? But one way or another, right, he puts on whatever he needs to put on and he is ready so that when he gets picked to do it, he can actually go and do it. Right? He should get up early, he should tovel, he should already be in his big day kahuna before the Munah arrives. That way he can straight away go and do the Trumas Hadeshan. Alma. Therefore, love befali if I use talia milsa. Therefore, that teaches us something. That teaches us that in fact they didn't wait for the lottery. They didn't wait for these fingers, right? V'hadartani. And then it said later on in the Mishnah, our memorizing guy repeated to us later from the Mishnah, yavo yivayis. He'll come and he'll do the pais. Meaning, it wasn't just that the memuna came and chose someone; it's that he did a pais. Which one is it? Alma, therefore, a befayis telling me so that teaches us that the payis is that we need the payis. We need to pick the people using this lottery, this technique of lottery, based on counting fingers and not people, as we discussed then, right? Amara, Abaye said, loikash, it's not a problem. Kan koidem takana, kan lachar takana. It would happen, the mimuna would just sort of come, and it would help, and then they would go and do Trumas Hadeshan straight away, before they made a particular takana. I'm sure you all know the takana, but we'll read it inside now. They would do the pais, they would do the lottery after the takana. This not as we have in the Mishnah, and therefore they left a certain bit of wording in the Mishnah to teach us that there was a time before takana when they did not do a pais for Trumas Hadeshan. Right, there were only 3 paises in the Beis Mikdash, not 4, and there was no pais for the Trumas Hadeshan. We'll discuss the other paises later on, right? This not as we have in the Mishnah. Bereshoina, kol misha roitzel lisrem esameis be'ach torim. In the beginning, anybody who wants to do Trumas Hadeshan could do it. Bizman shein merum, there were many people who wanted to. Ratzin ve'olim lakemish, they would all just run up to the Mizbeach. They will run to the mitzvah. It's like an honor to the mitzvah. You can see how many people want to do the mitzvah, right? Kol hakodem eschavir b'tzeich arba amos zocha. Anybody who got within arba amos at the top of the mitzvah first, he was the one who got the arba, who got the Trumas Hadeshan. How you shnayim shavim, right? If there were two who arrived at basically the same time, havimuna. Omer lam hatzbiyu. Then the memuna, the person who's in charge, would say at that stage, he would say, put out your fingers, indicate. Amayim motziim achas shleim. How many fingers did they put out? One or two. Ve'in motziim. Right, he would tell them how many fingers to put out, one or two. Ve'in motziim godol mikdash, and don't put out a thumb because it looks like an extra person. Right, there was a time when, in fact, there were two people who were sort of a neck and neck running up the ramp to the Mizbeach. And one of them actually pushed the other. And he fell off and he broke his leg. And when the Bezdin saw that this was in fact dangerous, that this practice was not a good idea because it was very dangerous. People were too eager to do mitzvahs. They were coming to do they were coming to a sakana. And they made a sakana that nobody should ever perform from sedation unless there was first a lottery. Rav Amar, Rava said, "Edv edilachar takana." Both of them. That's not true. I mean, Rava agrees with the story, but he doesn't say that's the reason why the Mishnah is worded the way it is. It's worded that way for this. It's worded this way for a different reason. V'achiksan, this is what it said. Mishnah writes a lava elafayis. Anybody who wants to, this is what the Mishnah really should have said. He alters the text. Anybody who wants to come and take part in the lottery, mashkin v'tovelachaliyom, then he should be ready or ready to do the trumas edition before the memuna comes. Okay, Mishnah. Not unless a mafteach uposach es apishbeish. Right, they took the keys. Right, uposach es ha pishbeish.
You're so tall. Ready? It's a big jump.
They didn't want to. Basically, what it is, they didn't want to. Remember, the pishbeish is a very small gate, and the base of moket. In the Beis HaMoked that we discussed, this room that was warmed by a bonfire, where the elders, the Zikni Beis Av, the elders of this family of Kohanim would sleep on these slabs of rock that we discussed, the Yistaba, right? So they had there a table made of marble. Underneath the table, they kept the keys. When they were there, what they would do is they would take the keys from this table and they would unlock the door to the outside, which was a very small door. It was called a pishpish, right? And they would enter the Azara. And then all the Kohanim would follow this one man. I suppose it's probably the Ish HaRabayis who was doing this. Right? I assume it's in the last person we're talking about is the Ish HaRabayis, no? So maybe this is. Oh no, the Memunah. The Memuna would take this key and he would enter, and all the Kohanim would follow him into Har HaBayis through this pishpesh, through this tiny door. And they would be carrying two torches. Remember, this is all before sunrise, right? Because the point is they want to be ready to do the Avodah by sunrise already. So they would divide themselves into two groups. One of them would walk underneath this rim. We talked about these colonnades that surround the Azara. So one of them would walk along this colonnade to the east. Another one would walk along this colonnade to the west. I think the base of Moked was to the north of the Kodesh HaKadosh, if I remember correctly. So one would walk on the colonnade to the east, and one would walk on the colonnade to the west. They would. And they would go along and check that everything was fine until they reached the place where the chavisim. The chavisim is a type of mincha, where a particular type of mincha was cooked before certain mincha. It's really the mincha solis, right? The mincha that was made from flour would be brought to mizbeach. It would be nekrav. They would sacrifice it when it was raw. The rest of them would actually be cooked and then sacrificed. The Michas Chavisim was cooked in a sort of shallow frying pan. That's what they're doing. Misha Zachal Yisroim Yisroim Yisbeach. Who Yisroim? Anybody. Oh, sorry. Higiyu. They arrived. Eilav Eilav Amru Shalom. Hakol Shalom. When they arrived, right? When they arrive and they check that everything is fine, that everything is where it needs to be, that everything is ready to do the Avara, they would say, Shalom, Hakol Shalom, everything's great. We're ready. We can do the Avod already. Whoever's in charge of making the chazisim would stay there. They would they would begin to, they would make the, and they would start to make the fires, and they would start to get everything ready so they can start cooking the menachos as soon as they need to, right? Misha zacha lisrem et samizbeach, anybody who, whoever was chosen to do the Trumas Adeshen, who Yisraeli would do it? Veheim oimrim, and they said to him, Evei Zayir, they should be careful. Shaloi siga bechli ad shesikdash sekadesh yadecha ve'aglecha min akir. Be careful not to touch any kli in the base of Mikdash until you have first sanctifies your hands and feet from the kir. Kohanim, before they do avodah, need to go to the kir and sanctify their hands and feet. The Trumas Adeshen was also, even the Trumas Adeshen is sort of chetzi avodah, chetzi not really avodah, ad kidei kach, right? Maybe even the Kohanim don't have to wear a full big de kahuna when they're doing it, right? I said it's a machlokes amoraim in Yuma, and in the Sifra, but anyway, whatever, right? So you should be careful. Don't touch any kli until you have to sanctify your hands, because you still need to do that for Trumas Adeshen, right? V'harei hamachta nesuna b'mitzoa b'inu kevesh l'mizbeach b'marav yishal kevesh. And they would do it, and the little frying pan, the little pan that they would use to pick up the first bit of ashes was placed between the kevesh. Remember I've mentioned before in Sukkah that there was a very small gap between the kevesh, between the ramp and the mizbeach. In that gap, they placed the machta, they placed the pan that was used to pick up the deshen, the ashes from the mizbeach. Ein adam nichnas ayemoy, right? Nobody can come with him. Veloy. I should mention that if you hold that there is no gap, there are opinions that there is no gap between the ramp and the mizbeach. If there is no gap, then you just have the next to the bay, next to the very very end of the ramp, right up to the mizbeach is where the pan would be kept. Right, not between them. Okay. Nobody enters with him. V'lo ner yado, and he doesn't carry a candle. Ela mehalich l'ora maracha. Rather, he walks because of the light from the fire on the mizbeach. The mizbeach has a fire running on it always. But he would use that light. That was enough. Lo yahayu roin oisai. V'lo yahayu shomin as kol. They wouldn't see him and they wouldn't hear him. Ad shayu shomin kol ha'eis she'asa ben katin muchani lekir. Until they hear him beginning to use the mechanism which raises the kir out of the ground. Now, what's this referencing? There was a time when the waters of the kir would become pasul every single night. Why? Because the kir is itself a kli sharis. And anything which is in a kli sharis, which has been put in a kli sharis, is what's called kdushas haguf, including the water which the kohanim used to wash their hands. Right? Since it has kdushas haguf, right, it has full kdusha. What does that mean? It means that if you don't use it by the end of the day, at sunset, it becomes pasul. Right? That's called a psulina. Right? So, we have a serious problem, right? The water is becoming pasul every single night. You have to refill the kir every single morning. It's very, very difficult. It's a large thing. So this ben katan made what's called a muchi kir. He basically made a mechanism so they could lower the kiyar into the ground, so that it would be touching the ground overnight. The reason why they did this is so that if there was any water left in the kiyar at the end of the day, which there typically was, then they could quite simply lower it into the ground, and if it was touching the ground, it doesn't become parcel berlina. Right, it's a special rule. If it's touching the ground, it's not parcel fruit, but there's no psalina. Okay, so they would, but and then it has to be raised from the ground again in the morning, so that they can in fact perform the kiddush yadayim rakayim, so they can wash their hands to avoid it. But hey, and when they heard that, they would say, "Higia eis kiddush yada v'raglav min akir." They would say that the time has come to do kiddush yadayim rakayim, to wash his hands and feet from the kiyar. Natal machta sakesef ve'ala l'roish mizbech. He would take this silver pen that was used to collect the ash from the mizbech, and he walked to the top of the mizbech. Pina sagila alchalim heilach veilach. He would sort of clear the coals to either side. He would find the ones that have been most burnt up right in the center of the pile of coals. Ha Yarad. He would take it, carry it, collect it in the pan, and he would descend from the Mizbeach, from the altar, and he would get down onto the ground. Hafach panav letzof, and he would turn towards the north. Right? Holeich b'mizrochoi shel kevesh keter. He would walk along the eastern edge of the Mizbeach, right? About 10 amos, so that's somewhere between 3 and 5 meters. Tzavar et ha-gecholim al gabei ha-ritzban, and he would place them in a little pile, all these coals in a little pile on the ground. Rachik min ha-kevesh shlosh tfachim, about 3 tfachim away from the ramp. Makom she-noisnim muras ha-oif, the same place where... the same place where they would put, I think it's the feathers actually, from the birds that were sacrificed in the base of Mikdash. Basically, trash from the birds, right? Mok v'dishun mizbeach apnimi, and also the ashes from the mizbeach and the heichal from the mizbeach that they burnt the Torah, the incense on, and also from the ashes from the menorah were placed there. All of these different holy, basically waste products from the various from the two altars, and from the menorah were placed in this one place, right? Why? Because eventually they would be taken outside the city and buried bechavei, because they still have some level of Kedusha. Shkoyach, gentlemen, we'll continue tomorrow.